I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. It's the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson.
Hey, everybody. So today I'm filling in for Kelly. I am Caroline Bryan. Just filling in while Kelly takes a few weeks off, which sweet Kelly needs. And today we're going to talk to not only one of my best friends, but she's also my sister-in-law. So this is Ellen Boyer. Say hello.
Hey.
So Ellen, oh my gosh, how long have you been married to my brother for?
12 years.
12 years. So I guess I've known her for almost 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't talk about the first night that I met her.
No, let's not go into that.
It involves an earring, but we won't talk about that today. Anyway, so I want to just dive on in. If you haven't met or seen Ellen on Instagram, she's at Bright for Brett. And I'm going to ask her to explain about Brett, the foundation, the Brett Boyer Foundation. It's wonderful. And so just hop on in and say whatever you want to say.
Okay. Well, I'm so excited to sit down with you today.
I know. I haven't seen you in 12 hours.
I was telling you, Nicole, I think it would be, this is my first time really holding the mic, and I feel like we should do our version of the delicious dish from SNL.
Sweaty balls.
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Patsy.
And I'm Caroline. Welcome to...
What was it? The Delicious Dish.
The Delicious Dish.
I don't know why that seems so much more applicable with the mics.
The only thing about mics that I think everybody hates is this sound.
Oh, God. I've got gum in my mouth. Should I take that out?
Spit it out.
Her truck. No, I'm kidding. Who has kids when you're like, here, spit it out.
Oh, yeah. I also did... I had to bring Ellen something because whenever I'm stopped and ask a question, it always involves 3 things. A is pranks. B, my mother-in-law. And a lot of people ask me about my big wine glasses. So I did. Here you go.
So I'm so sleep deprived. I might fall right asleep.
No, you won't. You'll be fine. Okay. Sorry. We'll keep rambling. So, all right. So tell us about Brett and the foundation.
Brett was born in 2016, and we found out when we were pregnant with her that she had congenital heart disease, meaning she had a heart defect, and that she had Down syndrome. Really, we didn't get confirmation that she had Down syndrome until after she was born, but it was a probable diagnosis, and we were in the hospital with her for a really long time at Vanderbilt. A lot of things that we did not expect to happened, and really witnessed a lot of things that we feel like we can continue her legacy and to help spread her mission by helping making things better that we had no idea were a problem before she was born. For instance, I always tell people when we got into the cardiac unit, we expected that we would be the only parents in the world that this had ever happened to, that there wouldn't be many people up there, and the unit was packed out the whole time. And when we were there, there were 18 pediatric cardiac ICU beds, and they were all slam full. And so it really opened our eyes to just how common this is, how many kids really need help, how many families need support through diagnosis, through treatment, and certainly for research, how underfunded it is. So that was, you know, y'all were with us there the whole time. We've been so, so fortunate to have y'all, you know, on the board in our corner, helping us come up with every single idea. And it's just catapulted things to a great opportunity to really impact a lot of families. So very thankful.
Yeah. Well, you have a heart of gold, and something I tell almost everybody who asks about Ellen, when I like to tell everybody this story of Ellen, because Ellen's heart is so big and you're just so kind. I was actually parking at a liquor store to buy wine for a little party, and my phone rang and it was Ellen. And, you know, typically Ellen will text or whatever. And so I answered, and she was just squalling. So I knew something pretty bad, or I mean, something bad was up. And I was like, calm down. Just tell me what's going on. And she said, I just got back from the doctor and I found out that Brett is going to have Down syndrome. And she was just, Ellen never once said, why me? Why us? I can't do this. The first words out of your mouth were, I can't imagine somebody making fun of Brett. And that floored me, because that's just how selfless you are. I mean, you put everybody first, and that will forever stick in my head. Those were your first words.
Well, I remember you and Keller telling me stories of that day. Like, there's so much of that day. I remember where I was. I was out for a walk when I heard back from the doctor. But like, so much of that is such a blur. But like, I mean, you know, the whole journey, it took forever for us to get pregnant with her. Like, it was...
How many years was it?
Seven.
7 years that mm-hmm. you and Bo tried?
Mm-hmm. 7 rounds of IUI, and she was our first round of IVF. But yeah, I don't know. There's just like, that's part of our mission, is to spread. Like, I didn't know anybody with Down syndrome that would have made me feel better about seeing that she's not, I mean, she's going to fit right in with everybody. Mm-hmm. And that, it just took a while of talking to some families that it just, you know, it just took a little while to process that diagnosis. I mean, everybody has this image of your perfect child, I use in air quotes for the podcast, but this perfect child in your head. And when somebody gives you a diagnosis that you don't understand, it feels like that dream is gone. And it just took a while to process that things were going to be a little bit different than we had planned. But now, you know, like, that was such a blessing. I wish I had just soaked in the blessing and glory of that diagnosis, because I mean, I just truly believe she brought a piece of life to our family that we never knew was missing. And oh, I will forever thank God for that diagnosis. Never would I have ever changed that about her. And that's a thing, if you don't know somebody who has a person in their life with Down syndrome, that's a common thing. You call yourselves the lucky few. We're the lucky few that can understand. It's a fraternity that you can't understand what it's like to be part of it until you are. And then once you see it and understand, it's like, oh, there is just something there that wasn't there before, and you're so thankful for it.
Yeah, it's just this pure love that never changes.
Yes.
It never changes. And Brett did bring, she brought our family together in ways that we didn't know or think would ever happen.
Yeah.
And so she's been the biggest blessing for our family.
And just continues to be, you know, like, it took a long time. That's one thing I've always want to be honest. It took, I mean, I feel like her whole pregnancy, we were dealing with up, down, test results from, are you pregnant? Are you not? She was a twin, but the twin never got, I mean, past 7 weeks, and all those different things where, was it the twin that was testing for DS? It was just a lot of up and down, but like, it just, her light and the fact that she was exactly who she was supposed to be, it just reveals a blessing one after the other and continues to. I mean, she's been gone. February will be 5 years. And I still feel like she teaches me something new every day. And just like there's characteristics that I have that are just part of me, they're not exactly who I am. They're just part of me. That's how I understand Down syndrome now. It's not, that's not who she is. It's just part of her.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And also once our family and especially Bo and yourself, once everybody really embraced that Brett was going to be born with Down syndrome, we didn't care. We just wanted her here. Soon after that, you got more news.
Yes, that's when we knew that she had her heart defect. At first, we thought it was small enough that wouldn't require surgical repair. But when we found out it was definitely a full AV canal defect, meaning a hole right in the middle involving both of her valves, that was, I mean, that was, I don't know, as traumatic as we can put into words, I guess, thinking that you're going to have to hand over your four-month-old baby to have open heart surgery. And like I said, I mean, we felt so alone that like nobody else, surely nobody else has to do this. And that is part of our mission too, is making sure that families that receive a diagnosis, families that are going through it now, adults with CHD, really see that we know you're not alone. We're fighting with you and that there's people in your corner.
Yeah, well, you guys certainly did it, and they're just amazing.
Well, you too.
No, but it's different when it's your child. And the day that you did have to hand over Brett, it's forever scarred in my head. Oh, I know it's in y'all's head, too. It was supposed to go smoothly, and I was driving to the hospital a rainy day, and I was on the phone, and Bo said, everything's going smoothly. I said, I'm coming up there. This was all, of course, pre-COVID. I get to the hospital and Ellen is white as a ghost, just scared. And then you got more news.
We're going to do an echo, make sure everything looks great. You know, we're all in there celebrating, thinking all is well. And the echo showed that after the surgery, it made her mitral valve, really showed how weak that her valve really was. And so ultimately she needed that valve replaced, but they don't make them for newborns. They don't make them for anybody as small as she was. Her annulus for that was about 10 millimeters and they don't make them that small. And hearing that they, like my feeble brain, all I could understand was, so they make them, they just don't make them that small. And you know, you and I've had this conversation with Dr. Mettler and our team, like why? And that was the thing that rocked us the most, is he was like, it's not financial. There's not a financial return to make them that small.
Which is the worst, like, thing to hear.
Get out of
here. How can you put a price tag on a child?
Yeah.
A human, especially an innocent child.
Well, and then there's the parts that I'm slowly, you know, it's just taken years of being able to process how it all went down, process how can I, because to me, that is just unacceptable.
Of course. Absolutely.
And so it's taken a while to see also if they had replaced her valve. Like right now, there's nothing that can grow with them. So she would have had to have probably 4 additional open heart surgeries to replace once she outgrew that, if there even was an option that small. And so that's the thing we really want to put in some research. How can it, without having to have an open heart surgery to replace it each and every time, can this be something that's dilated via cath? And how can we make things less invasive? Because ultimately, Brett ended up having 2 open heart surgeries. Her second was a success, but it was the trauma of open heart surgery that ended up what we lost her to. It was all of it together, from just a trickle down effect of the trauma of what we had to do to fight for her life. And so if we can figure out how to make that better, I feel I'm more than confident that somebody else has more options today than we had 4 years ago.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Yes, 100%. And we've talked about that with the doctors, but I think Brett really helped push that forward.
Oh, I do too. I know. But it's, don't you think that's the only way we're able to push forward and continue to be, it's hard to say that I don't know that I'll ever say I'm thankful for what happened to her.
Not.
Certainly not. But thankful that I have the honor of being that kid's mom is, I will never stop being thankful for that. And to know that she made a way for somebody else is truly, what keeps us fighting through all of this stuff.
We always said, during your pregnancy, we would kid around, call her Queen Bee, which she still is Queen Bee, move over Beyonce, there's a new Queen Bee in town. And we always said, when things started happening and our family became closer and certain things happened, we always said that she was going to change the world. And she really is. Brett's doing something different every day to make improvements with hospitals and doctors and CHD, awareness of Down syndrome and how wonderful it is. And these wonderful children and adults that just know nothing but love and just
add
the
to their
best
community.
Hugs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing I always like to say about kids or people with Down syndrome, a lot of different things that even I sometimes will see adults with Down syndrome, like Ruby's Rainbows, mm-hmm. helping kids with Down syndrome go to college. And it's we've all been conditioned to think that they can't do certain things, mm-hmm. but it's would you know how to drive a car if nobody ever taught you? If somebody just assumed you'll never know how, so I'm not even going to try.
I've been told that my entire life. I still can't do math. I still add on my fingers.
But it's once we break down those barriers of there's nothing that you can't do. And they believe it too. And we all see look at Chris Nikic. He does more in a training session every morning than I've done on my biggest day as an athlete.
I know Chris. How old is Chris?
22.
He's 22. Down syndrome. And he's an Iron Man.
Iron Man.
He would kick my butt.
He was rocking out those push-ups. Jim Willis was like, Chris is and his family support. He's a phenomenal person.
He is.
He's just truly an inspiration on every level, every level of life.
But he is, and so are you.
Oh, thank you.
Anything else you want to add about Brett or anything?
Well, you want to talk about the barn?
Oh, yes, we can talk about the barn. Okay, so we do have a barn. Currently, it's on my family's farm, and so it's not open to the public. Someday, hopefully, we will have a public barn. But after Brett passed away, well, when Brett was alive, I was kidding with her, just holding her, and I said, I'll give you whatever you want, and I'll buy you a white pony. Well, that, you know, it was a joke with my brother because he was like,
well,
really?
Yeah, and we have a quarter of an acre.
Yeah.
I was like, she'll show up with it in the backyard.
I was going to put it in the backyard. But anyway, so after Brett passed, and anybody who knows our entire family, we're that family that has gone through so much tragedy and trauma that we've lost Luke's brother, sister, brother-in-law, and each of those deaths, Luke and I have been so involved with children or just helping out that's kind of how we dealt with it. Well, when Brett passed away, I was just watching you and Bo suffer, and I couldn't do anything about it. I didn't know how to help because I couldn't. One day, I got a phone call from a dear friend of ours, and she volunteers at a rescue barn in Jackson, Tennessee, and she said, we just rescued a white miniature pony and a black pony. Do you want it? I'm holding it because I talked about a white pony. And I said, yes. 2 days later, we get a goat, two ponies, and I turned Luke's hunting barn into a rescue barn. So I had awesome people working around the clock to fence it in. And those three animals, now we have almost 30. So it's our way of dealing with all the emotional hurt, and we do have families who come out and to watch those parents breathe while the kids play like children should is awesome.
I think with all of the loss too, I mean, anybody that's experienced loss knows there's this love that you don't know what to do with, like, and it's a place I've seen everybody pour their love into that brings happiness. And it's so important. Not that I'm any expert on how to deal with things, because there's certainly a lot of ways that I know that I deal with this that's not healthy. But I do think that the healthiest thing you can do is find a way to pour love into something positive that's a blessing on other people. And it fills your cup back up. To make other people happy, to see those animals happy. I mean, it's just blessing after blessing. And the bees being out there, there's absolutely no coincidence and no doubt in my mind that she is there and shining on that, and is so grateful for the work that you pour into it, that y'all pour into it, Nicole and Karen. And I'm sorry, but
it's okay.
When did my watch start making noise?
During a podcast, because that's what happens.
During the delicious dish.
Yes. Do you want to try my balls?
I've heard they're nice and chewy.
That can go on the blooper reel. Yeah. Okay, where are we at? We're talking about the barn.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as long as you know this, and as long as people out there know, and I go through, I mean, I suffer from anxiety, and I've never been.
You're fine.
Her watch keeps going off.
You're like, or you can throw it away. Okay.
Well, you know, and as long as everybody out there knows that you're never going to deal with things 100% perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, I suffer from anxiety. People who are close to me know that. I'm not ashamed of it. It came from, you know, just trauma with our family. I'd never had anxiety as a child, but after Luke's sister passed, that's when it kicked in. And
when you see how fragile life is.
Oh, yeah. And yeah. It's you know, I have different ways of dealing with it. Some days, weeks, even a month, I'm perfect. I feel like I'm on it. And then you can spiral, and it takes a while to come out of the hole, but you can, I mean, it's, but nobody's going to ever do anything 100% perfect.
I think when you're just such a strong, independent, you love to take care of other people, it's going to sneak attack you because your focus is on other people, which is such a valuable characteristic that everybody loves. But like eventually you have to deal with the stuff.
Stop.
Yeah.
You have to stop and take care of yourself. And as moms, that's really,
it's almost impossible,
but you have to learn, okay, I just need a day off. I'm going to take the kids to school and I'm going to have a mental day, and that helps me.
Yeah,
I hate doing that because I feel like I feel ashamed.
That's your Enneagram number. I do that too.
Yeah,
even though I'm a 9 that they say can have a slothful side, I do not I do not rest easily. I mean, I notice it in my number of that I'll numb out, and I like to do productive things that don't require my thinking, but I cannot lay around.
No, I don't know how to do it. I mean, I can maybe once a year. I really have to be down.
Yeah, and I think I did it more before kids, I guess. Mm-hmm. But no, the guilt that would come over me from that, and I do not know why, because it's definitely necessary. But yeah,
we just have to. I mean, I'm getting a lot better about not feeling as guilty. I still feel guilty, and I'm working on that. But I do think it's okay to just clock out for a minute.
Totally.
So.
To anyway. Make time for it. That's what I have to do is say, I'm going to do this tomorrow and I'm not going to feel bad about it.
And then you try to fight not feeling bad about it.
Yeah, that I'm sitting there being like, I could start cleaning something. Here we go. Oh, man, what a mess I am.
We're all a mess and it's okay. It's okay. Embrace it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to.
Well, one thing that I'm definitely beyond proud of with the foundation, with the way speaking of anxiety and everything, when we were inpatient, I had this, I mean, like when people would try to prepare me for things that Brett may or may not ever do, I really was not open to hear it at all. I wanted to be like, we'll tell her she can do whatever she wants to, just like we were saying before. So it came so protective of her. I definitely couldn't think about myself, and Beau was even more so. So we've really been working with the team about, no matter how strong you think you can be for other people, there are things that you see in those walls of that hospital, and especially when it's your own kid, or like in your, when you're the aunt and you're there. My mom has, I mean, all of our family, you know, witnessed so many things that you're like, I can't deal with that right now because I've got to be here for that person. Our goal, what we feel like is a component that's missing from treatment is mental and emotional support while you receive a diagnosis of CHD, and completely through prepping somebody of, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get alarm fatigue about day 4. You can fight it. You might make it to day 6 or 7, but congratulations, it's coming. I mean, like, there's no way to avoid it. And the goal is that it gets to be the standard of care that hospitals are ranked, whether or not they provide that for their families, because I truly believe with all of my heart, the healthier we all are mentally, emotionally, the better caretakers we can be. And it's going to make a better physical outcome for that patient if their mental and emotional needs are taken care of, because they're surrounded by a healthier environment.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together. We'll cry together and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Our goal is for it to be, oh, you're going to meet these people. This is your cardiologist, and we're going to check your blood pressure because we know that's what's good for you. You don't fight it when somebody asks you, can I take your blood pressure? Because we've been told this is smart. We need to know this is a component to keep tabs of where you are in a healthy place. And the goal is to where it is. And now you're going to meet your surgeon, and now you're going to meet your mental health specialist because you need it.
Yeah, and that was actually very shocking. When Brett was in the hospital, you know, I would go up there every day if I could just to see you and Bo and hold Brett's hand. But there was no mental health specialist. And, well, not that I saw or met. They had social workers, but
the social workers are phenomenal.
And they were phenomenal, and they're still there. We're still in touch. Just
yes.
Wonderful. But when a parent or parents and siblings get thrown into something like what you went through, I mean, even the siblings, they need, because their parents are torn from their house. Yeah. I mean, these parents lose their jobs because they're at the hospital 24/7. They're torn from their home with other siblings. The siblings don't know how to process.
Yeah.
Why isn't mom here? Or why isn't dad here? Why isn't my brother or sister here? So it's so important to really not only help parents, but the siblings and parents who don't know what is going on. Because no, we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, totally. You don't know how to support each other either. Like,
yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, but Ellen is really, you're doing a ton to help that. And
thank you. I hope so. I mean, and you know, we had Brett for just 7 months. So there's a lot of things too that I want to dig in with people that have been fighting this for 25 years. Like, where do you see that we can help you? Where do you see that the system needs to change? Because the doctors, nurses, surgeons, I mean, everybody, they're so awesome, but they also don't necessarily see it from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, there's got to be a defense mechanism for all of them too, because they're just literally up there getting their heart broken every day. I mean, and so for them to be able to go home and be a normal mom, dad, whatever, wife, husband, everything. I mean, I think that they have to figure out how to preserve their own emotional health. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing. I mean, when you have somebody that is trained to be able to support somebody through it, I really think it's going to make a huge difference. And it's a way that we can go into an institution and know that each family's getting cared for and that they're feeling the impact that we want to give them.
Yeah.
So we're starting that at Vanderbilt, And after the success of Rep Games, about to just go knock on every door of every hospital and that offers open heart surgery.
Why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean,
after Tim Tebow's speech, I'm ready. I'm ready to walk to LA and be like, around, LA Children's, we coming.
Well, I mean, it's a joke, but I'm kind of believing it more and more. We're like, Tim Tebow is God's favorite child.
Oh my!
But he's
gosh.
Such a wonderful human, and he always
maybe Demi.
Up.
I don't know. Well, she's Demi's a close. Yeah, they're pretty close.
They're right there. That's why they're married, because they're both just the best humans, and they always show up. They always give. I mean, he's given his Heisman. I mean, a man's probably most prized.
Oh yeah,
I guess trophy. But I mean,
and took it and turned it into literally an inspiration for every single person that laid eyes on him. Was like, I can do more. I can do more. I can be more than I am. I mean, what a gift.
Yeah, like, Tim's speech the other night had everybody floored, crying, and
off the cuff,
and ready to just go help out.
I mean, I thought about what I was going to say for like 2 weeks, and I got up there and said I carried a watermelon and then left. And he's like, wait, you need this? Okay, how about I'll inspire everybody to be better? Peace.
Yeah, he's just that nice human. Unreal. Just unbelievably nice.
Yeah.
But so we're going to wrap up. I know this was hard to talk about. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
I think that's it's a lot. So I'm just glad. Yeah. I'm honored every time I get to say her name. And I know everybody like grieves completely different. So I'm always, mm-hmm. Bo and I have grieved, you know that obviously, but Bo and I have grieved completely different. It gives me so much life fulfillment to talk about her. Mm-hmm. I want to say her name, just like everybody's aching to talk about their kids and telling you what they're doing. I love every second of that. Mm-hmm. But I also always want to be respectful of the fact that not everybody grieves this way. And I always, I mean, since Bo's not on social media, he'll never hear this. But I always want to be respectful. There's a lot of people that grieve the same way he does. His is so, it's so hard for him to talk about. And it's not that he's not, I mean, more proud than any dad could ever be.
It's just hard for him to talk about Brett and keep his composure.
And for it not to bleed out in pain of every aspect of his life. And so I'm always just want to be respectful when people hear that, like, oh, she sounds really positive. I'm not always positive. That's for certain. But also, it's okay to not grieve the same way as each other. I mean, and yeah.
No, that's... Everybody's different. As long as you're grieving, and I mean, in a positive way, and you are allowing yourself to grieve. I mean, there are days where it is okay to not be okay. I learned that a long time ago, but you're doing wonderful stuff.
Well, all with y'all's incredible help.
Oh, anytime.
The best.
Well, this has been deep, and so I know. It's been hard and deep. I know it's not easy for Ellen to talk about all this. So I wanted to end it on a little game I like to play. It's harmless. I've played it with you before. It's that
it's
word.
It's called, who is your daddy and what does he do?
Yes. Here she comes, everybody. No, it's the word association game.
Okay.
So Ellen loves rap music. And she's actually a very talented rapper. So, but I won't make her out right now. I'll save that for later. But I'm going to say a word.
Okay.
And you have to name the first rap song that comes to your head.
Okay.
And I think I know which one I'm going to start off with.
Oh, dear God.
Cracker.
Uncle Cracker?
Well, I was hoping she'd say Missy.
I heard she eat one crack a day.
That's what I was going for.
Yep.
Salt shaker.
Shake it like a salt shaker.
Booger.
Oh. I don't know. All I'm thinking is Booger Bottom in Albany for some reason.
Mm-hmm. And here comes our dog. He is.
Hi.
Tell him bye, Chalk.
Bye, big man.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank y'all for everything. And I'll see you soon, Kelly. Thank you for letting me
be
a guest host. And thank you, Ellen, for being on here. Oh, and thank you, Chalk, for interrupting and jumping on.
Big man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Hope you have a good day. See you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Velvet's Edge podcast with Kelly Henderson, where we believe everyone has a little velvet and a little edge. Subscribe for more conversations on life, style, beauty, and relationships. Search Velvet's Edge wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.